Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 239 on August the 27th, our last podcast for this month.
And almost 240.
That's right. That will happen next week.
Yeah, I don't know why the number's going up like that and, you know, impress me, and it's just my little world that it's impressive in, but we've never done 240 things together, ever.
We've been married for 240 weeks and months, I think. I'd have to do months.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not years.
Not years, although I'm sure sometimes it seems that way, right?
Sometimes it does, as all married couples would understand. And then sometimes life just flies right by, because time flies when you're having fun, Don.
And time's fun when you're having flies.
That's true, yeah. I think.
Kermit the Frog.
We quote only the best here on Creekside with Don and Jan.
You betcha.
That is, by the way, the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. And you can go to our website at owlcreekgazette.com and find out what you may have missed in the last month or weeks or those 239 weeks you haven't been checking into,
no
folks.
No kidding, yeah. Well, I've had just all kinds of trouble today. The interwebs, getting it hooked up. It worked at 10 o'clock this morning. At 6 o'clock, it didn't work.
No, such is life, I tell you what.
It's an irritated Don. So mm-hmm. Don fixed the problem and ran home and got a 50-foot Ethernet cable and took the computer and plugged it into the Ethernet cable and plugged the other end of the cable into the router, and we're done. It works every time.
Mm-hmm. We're good,
especially
to go.
Whenever you got a good wire. But yeah, the
I thought you were going to say, especially when you have a good wife.
That too. Okay. Were it not for the constant encouragement of the wife, I'd be in deep trouble.
The good woman in your life.
Isn't that right?
Yes. I'm nodding my head, yes.
Yes. You just nod your head for radio. It's the same as a wink to a blind man, right?
There you go. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about because we are nearing the publishing of the September issue of the Owl Creek Gazette. We're ahead of the game, though. I've been working extra hard because I know we may be out of town the next few days. Oh, for anyone, we should really video our podcast, because I guess that wouldn't make them podcasts, would it? It would be.
It'd be video casts.
Yes.
Or vlogs.
Mm-hmm. Vlogs, yes.
Vlogs, yeah.
As I say, we're doing really well on the magazine. Don opens up our little mock-up that we have ready each in our own hand, and page 3 is blank. That's what you and I write, of course, from the editor's desks. And the reason those are blank, you've got yours started, but there's a lot of things that happen towards the end of the magazine, whether it's local news or national news or something that strikes our fancy and we want to talk about, or whatever that is. So
well,
we
speaking
say
of
those
national news, let's just go ahead and say this right now, if you don't mind. Our hearts go out to those folks in South Texas who are being inundated by torrential rain and floods. And wow.
Oh, absolutely. And something we want to do when we get home is send Val and Deb an email, the folks from Pineywood Ranch. They've written an article for us this month as an update to what they're doing.
Yeah, they bought a boat.
They bought a boat. And while they live in Winnsboro, Texas, away from the bulk of the storms, if they were home, they were safe. We don't know if they're
and out the Gulf?
Yeah.
Where they are, yeah.
Right.
Because it's a close-to-shore seaworthy boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got the old 1,200-pound keel and all that stuff on the bottom.
Yeah, so we need to find out and then maybe write a little update from any of their experiences. Hopefully they have no added experiences to share when it comes to any kind of damage or concerns when it regards to the weather.
Yeah, well, we may just call them and call it a day rather than wait to see whether or not they've got interwebs.
That's true. That's true. We do have.
We've got their phone number.
We do. So,
and those are the only people that are our closest friends in Texas.
That's true.
So
we'll find out from them how they are.
Yeah. And they're up in the Piney Woods.
They are. They have a ranch up there. Go figure.
Well, it's near I-30, and that's the road between Texarkana and Dallas. And they're probably just getting rain today.
Yeah.
And from one of those spiral bands that are coming out of the eye of the storm. So.
Well, and I remember them saying that there were many times that they were grateful for the rain because of the heat that they'd been experiencing. But then they would go from the heat to excess mud or a little creek that they would have to cross over. And I remember one time they couldn't drive their car over, and Val had to get a haul pig feed,
yep,
or something over, and the truck wouldn't do it. He had to do it by hand. He's like, I'm too old for this. Why did we do this again? Which people our age ask often on new endeavors and new ventures. But anyway,
he's okay. He'll let us know if he's not too. So, friends in Texas, old friends, new friends, humans alike, our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Right, right.
The other thing that we had come up this week in Newsworthy was President Trump let Joe Arpaio out of prison, gave him a clemency pardon, 80-some years old, for standing up for his way of doing business as a sheriff that evidently the federal judge didn't like and charged him with contempt and threw his ass in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I normally have opinions on everything. I have been so knee-deep in the magazine that I'm going to have to just say, I'll get back to everybody on my thoughts on that. Come mid-September, I may have recouped and regrouped.
Yeah. Regroup. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's nonetheless, it's an odd, strange move, but I think I kind of support it because Arpaio was doing some... Although you didn't like what he was doing, actually you didn't like the way he was doing it, but what he was doing was keeping the streets safe in his community. And people that were incarcerated under his command were put to work. Imagine that.
Well, like I said, I'll get back to you. Can't say yay or nay at this point. More research is necessary.
Yeah.
I followed that a long time ago, but it's skipping my mind as I look at page 5 of the Owl Creek Gazette. Or actually,
with
page
nothing
4.
On it. No.
No.
Well, page 4 has got butterflies
it
on
does.
It.
It does.
We have a new writer, Kimmy. Kathy Kimmy is going to be writing about her butterflies that she's single-handedly taking care of the population in southern Illinois.
Well, we've dubbed her, and not the first, the butterfly lady.
Madam Butterfly.
She says in her article that, can you imagine a world without butterflies? 4 years ago, I read an article about the plight of the monarch butterflies. And in that article, I learned that it's estimated without human intervention in 20 years, the monarchs will be extinct. Never could I have imagined that a short article would send me into my own personal journey to help save the monarchs and protect other pollinators. It's really been fascinating to see how her interest has grown,
mm-hmm.
and she's become, she calls it a hobby, but it's almost a passion and
I've
a
never
dedication.
Seen a butterfly lay eggs, but she has.
Yes.
She collects them,
mm-hmm.
and she takes care of them, raises them from pups to mm-hmm. larvae to the chrysalis stage, and out comes a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
So she's got information this time, kind of an introduction of what she's doing, and a picture of her butterfly garden and all the different plants she grows in there, and then as the series progresses, she will tell people what she's learned and experienced and how they can become caregivers to monarchs and swallowtails. She does now too.
This month we also have a story on tatting.
And, we do.
And it's not the kind of Samoan tatting that we're familiar with the piece of bamboo and a needle and some ink. This is the traditional knot tying type of a sort of a tight lace that's made by tying knots.
Mm-hmm. And it's by Shannon Strode.
Yeah.
And she is just so competent in all the heirloom skills and tradition. She's a homeschooling mom, and she loves all the abilities that have been passed down from generation to generation. And she said, "What I love about her stories are, if I say, can you write about homeschooling, she tells a story in the process. And I'll say, can you write about tatting? Because I promised several issues ago we were going to have, it was like National Tatting Month or National Tatting mm-hmm. Day, and I didn't get anything written on that. And so when I ask her to do that, she proceeds to tell a story about her great-grandmother who lived to be 104 and how her grandmother's tatting skills and how she lived affected Shannon to this day. So I love those stories.
It is great. Adventures in Grandparenting. Gary Adolph has got a really cool story here about the county fair. And he's just recently experienced the Madison County Fair.
With his grandkids.
With his grandkids. And he wrote a poem for that event. Let me read this to you. Fair sense is what it's called. Lingers heavy in the air, pungent odors intertwined, always diesel well-defined. Wafting gently on the breeze come swirling tendrils white of much tobacco used tonight. Odors thick of melted butter, salt and cooking oils, healthy eating popcorn spoils. Boots tinged with cattle dung, completes the useless strife with many body odors rife. Sweetness to my nostrils come drizzled overhead as kettle corn aromas spread. Odors now dispelling as I walk the other way, only to return another day.
That's right. Gary's a good poet. He's written many poems we've shared in the magazine. And then with that, he goes on into telling the story of all the fun that he and his grandkids have at the fair.
Hopefully we've got some, and we're still working on, we have got some recipes coming up from Peggy at
Aunt Sadie's Hideaway Bed and Breakfast.
Our new favorite place in Branson, Missouri.
That's right.
Yeah. If you're ever in Branson and you need a place to stay, call and ask Aunt Sadie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be talking to Peggy, but ask it Aunt Sadie's. Krista Walker is also checking out the Constitution. Imagine that.
Well, Constitution Day is coming up September 17th. Just to give you a taste of what Krista is talking about in her article, here's a quick little quote from the article. So the question that some may be asking in 2017 is, what does the Constitution have to do with good citizenship? As unbelievable as it may sound, there was a time in American history that the Constitution wasn't a political statement or a partisan ideal, but simply the cornerstone of American society. Understanding the proper role of government was considered an important part of good civics education and a part of being a good citizen. And that's just what it was.
Yeah.
So she takes a look at it from what we used to think, what we need to think, and then I one line here, she, close to the end, she says, how can we begin to shove back if we don't know where the starting line is? So all the people that are complaining about government, if you don't know its role and the limitations the Constitution set on government, then how do you proceed? So I really like that, and I'd
ask let me ask you our favorite question about the Constitution. What rights are granted by the Constitution?
And, of course, as we always say, no rights are granted by the Constitution. We come with our rights. The Constitution just reminds the government what our rights are and limits the government to its behavior.
There we go. It's all about the government, not about the people. It's all about limits on the government.
Right.
Yeah. It's don't go there, government, is what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It enumerates.
So whenever somebody says my constitutional rights are being violated, my first response is got a B and an S in it, but.
Well, and in all fairness, we thought the very same thing for years, and we've mentioned this before in the magazine and on the podcast that for years I grew up saying, well, that's, you know, goes against my constitutional rights. And I thought, boy, I've just made a big stand there when I said that. I was awfully impressed with myself until we took a class from Michael Badnarik, who is a constitutional scholar and who was the 2004 presidential candidate. 2004?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Libertarian presidential candidate. And we took his class, and when you learn that, he quickly said, we have no rights from the Constitution. We were born with the rights. And
we were born with every right, right fully intact.
Right. And the Constitution will enumerate them in the Bill of Rights, but it quickly says just because it didn't enumerate one doesn't mean that it's not there. We maintain our rights.
Right.
And in other words, government.
Left. Right. Left.
Back off, government, is what it means.
We have got Stacy Rhodes back again with our Notes from Within series. And Stacy's talking about, anything is possible with music.
Imagine absolutely. That. And one of the things she said in her column that I like so much is the practice of using music mindfully brings the idea that anything is possible into reality.
How do we do that?
Well, people can read the article and find out.
Okay, we'll let them.
And by the way, our magazines are given out by us. into 12 counties in... What,
South
Central
Illinois.
Right. And what I wanted to say was I had several people say to me, they read the magazine all the time, but they say, now my friend lives in so-and-so, where can that person pick up the magazine? Well, on page 2, we list all the different places. And it varies from time to time. Sometimes we'll find that the magazine no longer works in a certain location because people are stealing them. Or, you know, we find that there's a place that it's better suited because they can hold more magazines per month, that kind of thing. So, but read that on page 2. If you wonder where you can pick up a hard copy of the magazine, it's there. If you have a place that you frequent often, you would like to see the magazine in there, ask the owner of that business to contact us.
Right.
Or contact us and we'll contact them and see if it's a workable arrangement.
We'll see if we can't make it fit.
Yes. And it's always online at owlcreekgazette.com.
We're having a homegrown authors event, aren't we?
We are.
And it's independent authors. And we picked up another one today. We've got, who have we got here? Just off the top of the sheet here that we're looking at, we've got Shane Bowen, Lenora Henson, Charles Hudson, Jacqueline Kelsey, John Smith, Charles Christine Schulte, Charles Schwind, Michael Ringering, and you've got
Lee Savage.
Lee Savage, right. Yeah.
And when you say we have an event coming up, it's a Indie Authors Book Festival. And how we decided to do this, besides the fact that we have a homegrown authors page, and we love to see people be independent and self-reliant and say, hey, I've got this thing I want published. And
by George, they publish
it. That's right. So Indie Authors has a day. Everything, there's a day for everything.
Of course there is.
And that is October 14th. Well, that was the very same day we were planning our annual autumn dinner. And so I thought...
And we melded it together.
We did.
As ought we do.
Yes. I thought it made perfect sense.
It was perfect.
Anyway, that's been fun to see those authors come on board. I'm really getting excited about that as it grows. We're up to, 8 or 9 authors already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I saw that there's a great big indie author festival in St. Louis in November. And they only have 30 authors. And I'm thinking, you know, this is our first year, our first attempt, our first effort. We're in Little Greenville. We're having it at Patriots Park. And I was really pleased that we've got that kind of turnout. And we're not done. I mean,
yeah,
we can have more authors by then. That event, that portion of the event is free and open to the public. Anyone can come and meet the authors, buy their books, get books signed. I imagine there'll be some selfie picture taking going on.
Bring cash.
Bring cash and support your local and regional authors that put their work out there for you.
Indeed. Now, well, I say bring cash. Of course, some of them actually take debit cards
right
there on the spot because of the advent of Square and PayPal Pay here and all that stuff.
Bring a desire to purchase.
That's it. Bring your favorite desire to purchase, and we will be able to accommodate you.
And next in the magazine, we have an article by Angie Shute. And Angie is the director of the Breeze Library. She has agreed to be our speaker at our autumn dinner.
Yay!
So we've got those, you know, pages 12 and 13, so you can see get the whole feel for that day.
It will be an event page and an event day.
It will be. And Angie talks a little bit about, since the description of her presentation, well, basically I ask her, can you give people a sneak peek into what they can expect when they hear you at the dinner speak? And here's a little bit about what she said, keeping in mind that the whole theme of the dinner is the Waltons TV series, the Earl Hamner family, the Great Depression, and how those all melded into one. And Don, you came up with a great title that I'd been searching my mind for. You just said, An Evening at the Waltons Table, and I loved that. So anyway, Angie starts her column off with this. From the beginning trumpet solo of the theme song to the ending goodnight chorus of family members, Thursday nights found me glued to one black and white television watching the Waltons. They seemed like golden days then, set in the 1930s. The country was in the midst of the Great Depression, but nobody ever got around to telling them they were poor. In real life, Earl Hamner's father was a hunter, and they feasted on venison and quail and wild turkey from the mountain. They caught trout and catfish and bass from the Rockfish River. They raised hogs and cured their own hams. His mother canned surplus from the vegetable garden. And she goes on to say, I love researching the history, well, and the Waltons. So finding out more about foods and meals of the era during the Great Depression has been fascinating. I'll be speaking at the 4th Annual Owl Creek Gazette Autumn Dinner on October 14th, and the topic of my talk will be the Great Depression as seen through the eyes and the Waltons, the eyes of the Waltons and the Hamner families. And then she goes on to talk about some of the foods that we think today of as comfort food that were basically necessity foods and foods that meals and menus that were made from things they could grow or catch.
Yeah, and we think that, macaroni and cheese is comfort food. Well, what'll you have, peanut butter soup or peanuts?
There
soup.
You go. So anyway, that was pleasant to get her to give a sneak peek of what she's going to be speaking of.
Yeah.
And then on page 14, we have Passed On Words, the reviews of stories my parents read. This month, our book review writer, Marion Stunkel, is giving a review of the book Freckles, written by Gene Porter.
Cool. Freckles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know people with freckles. You've got one or two. I won't say where.
I think you're making that up. You're dreaming there, Don. But dream on. Nothing wrong with dreaming.
Of course, we've got our standard writers, Yarns from the Barnyard, Apple Cider.
That's right, and that's a timely
oh, yeah,
topic.
It's almost cider in time.
Mm-hmm.
And Forging On with a Rediscovered Forge from Keith Ford.
In
that's an interesting thing.
In his Frugality series.
Mm-hmm. We've got Cassie Cordy's back, 6 Simple Steps to Forgiveness.
Right, and Cassie has done an interesting video on 6 Simple Steps to Forgiveness. And I tried to share it. I had a heck of a time sharing it. I don't think I ever got that done. I tried to share it on the Owl Creek Gazette Facebook page, but I'll keep working on that.
Yeah.
She checked her settings, and she said, you should be able to do that, Jan. So,
and a good old friend, a very good old friend of ours, has decided to write for us some more, thank goodness,
mm-hmm.
Crystal Jerzinski.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband, Jay, had made a sojourn down to Southern Illinois, and we tried to connect up and couldn't connect up. And while we were talking about it, you said, how about you write a story for us? And there she did. Bang.
She did not write about the Hobbit Hollow where they stayed. That's going to be down the road.
Right.
She'd already had something in the works. She has gone to Japan.
Oh, wow.
And so she has written Lessons in Harmony. And she said she wanted to share that whole experience, how it has left her learning lessons in appreciation and respect, living with yourself and others in harmony. And she thought it was, considering everything that's going on in the world, that's a very timely lesson to be shared.
Well, and if you think about the number of people that are living on the island of Japan, how else can you live peacefully unless you live in harmony? There's, you know, mm-hmm. quite a number of people. I mean, there's 10 times the number of people living on the island of Japan than there are in Canada.
Well, and she even said their appreciation for tidiness and cleanliness is apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And that respect goes right to property rights in the sense that, you know, I don't want to mess up your stuff. I'm respectful of you and your time. And so it, it just was, it's a good article, a good read.
And like we mentioned earlier, we've got friends in Texas who are writing for us, have written for us in the past. And we also have a reprise from Roby Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends out on the West Coast are going to be giving us a little bit of an update.
Well, and I did that. I invited both of them to give an update because we're starting our seventh year in publishing in October. So I thought it would be nice to go back and some of the people who were played a big role in our magazine, sometimes for a year or more in writing their series. I wanted everyone to read about them and what they're doing. So we.
I'm thinking we're about to get a 7-year itch on this. What are we gonna? Are we gonna do something different in the next 7 years?
To be announced, I suppose, Don. Once we figured out ourselves.
A TBA.
Uh huh.
We've got some things coming up here too from the Grand Fork Centennial Celebration coming up here in October. And the Sorrento Fall Festival as well.
Right, and one thing that I really thought was interesting about the. Grand Fork Centennial is they've got some really cool history that they're sharing, not just of their location, but they're bringing in people to speak. One of the speakers will be doing a performance about the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Oh.
What a character she was.
No kidding.
And gutsy and independent and strong-willed and I like that.
And on top of everything else, they're going to have, you know, some exhibition baseball from old-timey exhibition baseballers.
Vintage baseball game,
the
yeah.
St. Louis Browns?
No, St. Louis Unions.
The St. Louis Unions. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. That was the Browns was the real thing. The Unions and the Stags will be playing.
The Belleville Stags, yes, and the St. Yeah. Louis Unions. And they've got their old uniforms, and that's going to be fun. So we'll be writing a little bit about that history. And then something else, too. Last episode, we had Bill Johnson on Creekside with Don and Jan, mm-hmm. and he was telling us in the episode that he had built
a cob oven.
Yes. And so he sent a picture, but in the meantime, you and he connected up, went out and saw the cob oven. I believe you've got a picture of it.
I do. I've got a picture of it, and I'll maybe even throw it on Facebook or throw it in the magazine, too. But yeah, it's a cool little thing. And of course, it's handmade. It's mm-hmm. it's up on a pedestal of stacked and mortared flat rock that he made so that, at our age, you don't want to bend over too much for a cob oven. So bring it up to your height, and away we go. And the last thing he has to do is let it fire slowly a couple of times to get it completely dry. And then when that's done, then, you know, it minimizes the amount of cracking that's going to go on, and it will crack. He said, I'm not worried about how much it's cracking now. We'll fill it in. And he's got to make a door for it. And I didn't realize that what you do is you build a fire in this thing long before you want to bake.
Mm-hmm.
And then you scrape the fire out because the oven will be as hot as it's ever going to be, and you put a wet door in place of in the hole that is the front of the oven, and the heat from those rocks in the cob is retained inside, and it's, you know, a very slowly dwindling temperatured mm-hmm. oven, but it's still a very hot oven to begin with, and it's, you know, maybe if you're baking at 350, you'll end baking at 345. It's got that much mass to it, and that's mm-hmm. how it bakes. So that's so cool. I want to get out there and try that, actually.
Yeah. Well,
I want to build one too, dang it.
You can do that in your spare time. When we ever get down to the creek, officially to the creek, that's where you need to build it, Don.
Okay.
And that made me think when we were talking to Bill, I said, you know, years ago we ran an article by Leanna Clark about how she built her cob oven. So I went through, because from time to time we pull articles from past issues mm-hmm. and include them, and I thought that's a perfect fit for this issue. Mm-hmm. Bill could have told us how, but it was, you know, kind of spur of the moment. Hey, Bill, you want to write another column? And it's like, I've got a lot of things going on. I didn't even ask him.
Yeah.
But I said to him, you know, I think that would be good to run Leanna's article and let people know how it was built. So I found that, and I've got that placed in this month's issue too, so that'll be a nice addition, I think.
And, you know, the one thing that Bill told me about building this cob oven is the experiences of other people who have done it. they would think that, well, I need a bigger oven than what this is. And the bigger the oven, the worse it is to fire. So small is good.
Mm-hmm.
Bake 2 loaves of bread. Do it again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. the bottom line.
Yeah.
And that was the...
That was a takeaway.
That's
huh?
the takeaway from uh-huh. this thing is to you don't get too big too quick. There's no need. Just do it more often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the last bit of information we have in the magazine we haven't mentioned yet. Charles Ambule is back as the fungi freak with a little blurb about what he's been up to, and he's got his own farm and grown pumpkins.
He's into
and,
pumpkins, yeah.
He's swamped, so I said, just give us something, Charles. Well, they've got Wayne's Market.
Has customer appreciation.
Yes.
Yeah, customer appreciation day is coming up.
In September. So he kind of combined what they'll be doing there with what he's been doing. And I looked through our back issues and I said to you the other day, Charles has been writing for us for a year. I didn't realize that. Each month I say, we need another one, Charles. And the poor guy, I initially said to him, you only have to write a year, and I keep pumping him for more. So we'll see. He may want to call it a day.
Well, you know, maybe we'll tap on somebody like Gerald Turley or whoever, you know, that runs Turley's ginseng.
That would be good.
That would be really cool to mm-hmm. get an occasional update on mm-hmm. on the ginseng supply here in mm-hmm. Illinois. And he's not only buying ginseng, he also buys golden seal root and some other things that are endemic to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fun.
It would be. There's a lot of good information out there. Everybody's got a story, as we always tell. And it's good to share that, especially when it's a unique story.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So we invite people, if you're interested in coming to the autumn dinner, you can purchase your tickets now on the website at owlcreekgazette.com.
You sure can.
And at $20 a ticket. There are going to be options for kids, a $10 ticket. I don't think we have that up yet, so we'll have to get busy on that. And one other thing, too, we're going to have tickets available for sale at different locations throughout our distribution site. We know for sure the first of the month will be when September gets underway.
Sunshine
House Health Food Store in Vandalia.
Right here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House.
In Greenville, Terramata Botanicals in Greenville. Highland will have Nudge Coffee.
And down in Breeze at Nudge Coffee, which is, by the way, opening another store in Breeze. I'm just going to spill the beans for them right now,
I think they've spilled that on their Facebook page. Yeah. But it never hurts to reiterate it. And also then when we're in Breeze, we're going to have the tickets available for sale at the Breeze Library, too. So we're going to work out a few more locations, and that gives us a good start.
Look for Nudge opening at the Old Breeze City Hall. That's what I can tell you. It's right behind the library, on the other side of the library.
And they're shooting for the first week in September. But as we all know, things happen in best of intentions, sometimes get layway.
Well, they're calling it a soft
opening.
And
yes.
that's good. And that's proper. That's
right.
The right thing to do.
So anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be getting the magazine to the printers on Friday morning.
Come
Lord willing,
water.
And the creek don't rise. Literally. And anyway, we'll be out delivering, so we hope to bump into some of you while we're doing that.
Love y'all. Take care now.
Take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.